in the name of Him. Those which are revealed and those which are concealed. What does it mean, those which are revealed? Those major sins that are revealed and known to everybody that they are major sins. Zina is a major sin. Namima is a major sin. All of those are major sins. But they are major sins which they are concealed. Nobody can tell. Unless you yourself know that. To do a concealed sin in the privacy where nobody sees you. For a person to do a sin in the darkness of the night. This is the concealed major sin, and the revealed major sin is the open. And also concealed and revealed refers to how people perceive it. In some societies, drinking alcohol, wal-iyadu billah, Muslim society become a social practice. So if a person goes to one of those gatherings and he drinks alcohol, people do not look at him as he is doing something haram. So now, this major sin becomes something that is not important, so concealed. Even though it's done in the open, but people do not consider it as a major sin, thus a person will do the same liberty, and he finds it easy within himself to do this thing, because everybody is approving of it. But there's other sins that in the same society, yes, alhamdulillah, the people did not accept this practice in their ways of life. Thus a person will refrain from doing it, not because of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but because the people will not approve of this practice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, stay away from those revealed sins and stay away from those concealed sins. Stay away from the sins that people consider as a major sin or they do not consider as a major sin. Do not make your religion is how and following the desires of the people. Therefore, we have to stay away from major sins. Also, staying away from major sins refers to, for example, a person wants to go home. He knows if he walks in this way, there's a lot of bars and there's a lot of places of vulgarity in this world. And if he goes in this world, there's none. Staying away from major sin means to take the road that he does not expose himself to seeing all that evil. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَقْتُلُ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. Do not kill the soul which Allah has made prohibit, which Allah has prohibited except with justice. So no one has the authority to go and kill another human being, whether he is a believer or he is a disbeliever. Some people, somebody who is not on Islam, that does not make his blood free. He can go and administer punishment onto those people. Every soul is protected by the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus, if there is a card for the killing, then we do the killing because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated that. He said, if a person who is muslim, the person who is married, who has entered a status of marriage, if he commits adultery, then his punishment, if that sin is has befallen him and people testify for that, his punishment is for him to be stoned to death. So now you kill this person by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, if somebody leaves the prayer, he does not pray, and he insists on not praying, and he does not want to pray, the Muslim ruler, we're not talking to administer themselves between you and me and you, the Muslim ruler only can say and bring this person and say, you have to pray. If he does not, then this person deserves to be killed. And also if a person kills another person intentionally, then this person deserves to be killed. So there's certain circumstances under which another human being could, his life could be taken away from him and administering a punishment over him. And that is given by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any other person cannot kill person freely. Therefore, it's not permissible to go and plant bombs in places and just explode people up. So you don't know who this person is. He might be a Zinni. He might be nothing against the religion. Not permissible to do that, and we're going to talk about the hadith inshaAllah later on, where Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اِجْتَنِبُوا السَّبْءَ الْمُبِيقَاتِ. And one of them is to kill a person unjustly. So here it says, do not kill a person unjustly. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is what Allah is advising you to do, so you may have some understanding. This is what Allah is telling us to do, so we can have some understanding about our affairs. And then the next ayah says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا مَالَ الْيَتِيمِ إِلَّا بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. Do not come near the money of the orphan except in ways to improve it in the best way. Do not come to the money of the orphan except in a way to improve it in the best way. This is also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as he said in other ayat, for us to be good to the orphan. If an orphan is present and this orphan has money, and one Muslim is entrusted to his money, he cannot come and take the money of this orphan and spend it right and left. But if he wants to come here to deal with this money, he has to deal with it in way, in improving it in ways which are best. Therefore, he cannot say, well, this orphan has $100,000. If we let it sit, 5 years from now, it's going to depreciate. So we're just going to buy him some bonds and stock and put it in the market, and that will let him have some, you know, interest, and his money will be protected. You say, now this is not in a good way you're dealing with his money. You are destroying his money. Because this is riba. And riba destroys. يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى وَيُبِّي الصَّدَقَاتِ. Allah destroys the riba and make the charity increase and prosper. So we cannot do things for the money of the orphan, something in ways which is not fit. Or we cannot come and say, well, there's a business deal. But this business deal, if it goes through, it's 50% revenue profit of the investment. But there's also 50% risk. I cannot do that with my money. I'm going to work with the money of the orphan. If he loses, he loses. If not, he won't owe that money. You know, this is not in the best way to improve the money of the orphan. Until he reaches, attains the age of maturity. After he attains the age of maturity, what do we do with his money? We give it to him and we he takes care of it. And then it says, وَأَوْفُ الْكَيْلَ وَالْمِيزَانَ بِالْقِسْطِ. Give full measurement and full weight with justice. If you are measuring something, at least we see that a lot, and not unfortunately in the disbelievers, they're very precise. But in our Muslim country, you go to buy 1 yard of material. Then I want to buy 3 yards. You measure it like this, you come home with 2 yards and a half. You tell them, I want to buy 5 pounds of yogurt. He put it like this, he mess up with the scale, he puts stone under the scale, so he gives you 4 pounds. Thinking they're going to charge you for 5 and give you 4. They're going to charge you for 3 yards and give you 3 yards and a half. There's no trust. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to us, give full measurement to the scale and to the measurement. And you have to do that with justice. But due to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said in the next ayah, لَا نُكَلِّفُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. We do not put on a soul something that it cannot bear. Sometimes, when you cannot really make the pain 100% to start. You exercise your best effort, but if pain a little bit more, a little bit less, Allah is not going to bless you for that because it's not within your ability. And this is the rule. Anything that is not within your ability, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not judge you for it. Therefore, if somebody is not within his ability to stand up in his prayer, he said, okay, you can sit down and Allah will give you full reward because without, it's not within your ability. If somebody is not within his ability to make hajj, he does not have to make hajj, it's not within his ability. And then it says, وَإِذَا قُلْتُمْ فَعَدِلُوا وَلَوْ كَانَ ذَا قُرْبًا. If you say something, be just, even if he was to you related. A lot of times when people speak, they do not give justice to their speech. They add a little bit, they chop it a little bit, they add on its spices, they make it appear different than what it appears. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if you say the truth. And you have to remember how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا يَنْفِدُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. Everything you say, there is a watcher over you, capable watcher, who is knowing what you say. So we have, when we say something, we have to say it with justice. Even if this person is related to us. Because sometimes when a person is related to us, out of our relation to him, we might a little bit go towards him and change the story a little bit in his favor. That is not the practice of people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in those ayat says, do not do that. And realize, after he passed his command, he did not say, لَا تَلِّفُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. He did not say, we do not put on a person what he cannot bear. Because this is something everybody can do. It's not something you have to control. You can say justice, you can say the truth. Nothing is hindering you from saying the truth. And then the ayah ends, this is what Allah is advising you, that you may remember. Having said that, inshaAllah, we stop at this point. وَبْهَذَا وَصَلَّ اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمُ وَبَارَكَ عَلَى مُحَمَّدْ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمْ. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Tonight we continue talking about the ayat that the author of the book of Al-Tawheed has included in the first chapter of his book. And we talk about the third ayah number 153 from Surah Al-An'am, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلَ فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ ذَلِكُمْ وَصَّاكُمْ بِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. In the previous two ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us nine issues that we have to pay attention to. After that, Allah Azza wa Jal has told us about the very important issue, and that is to follow the path that He has established. That path, Allah Azza wa Jal said, is His. Because verily, whoever follows this path, that path will lead to Allah Azza wa Jal. It will lead to paradise. It will lead to the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. However, the other path that the people create, the people innovate, and the people establish, they will lead to the hellfire. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, do not follow the armies and the other paths, because verily, by following those things, people will split into different groups, different ideologies. But if we hold on to the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, that path which Allah said it is His, we will be all together united, we will be all together upon the Haqq, upon the truth, And that will make us reach the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about how people will be deviated into different groups, and he said, ستفترق هذه الأمة إلى 73 فرقة كلها في النار إلا واحدة. My nation will be split into 73 groups, all of them in the hellfire except one. And that one is the one who follows exactly what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was following, which is the Quran of Allah, the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is the explanation of the Quran, as both of them were understood and implemented by the companions and those who follow them and those who follow them, the first three generations in Islam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us an advice to hold on to the sirat of Allah azza wa jal. We ask Allah to guide us to hold on to that sirat, which is one of its major signs, is to be free from all type of association. Therefore, the first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in describing this path, he said, تعالوا أتلوا ما حرم ربكم عليكم ألا تشركوا به شيئا. That is the first sign about this path. Therefore, it was reported in the hadith that was narrated by Al-Hakim according to Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم said إن للإسلام قوة ومنارا فمنار الطريق. For Islam is marked and signs just like the street signs. So one of those signs that we have mentioned in this ayah, to be free from shirk, and then to be good to your parents and do not kill your children and so on and so forth, that we have mentioned before. Then the author went on to report the statement of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, where he said, من أراد أن ينظر إلى وصية محمد التي عليها خاتمه فليقرأ قوله تعالى قل تعالوا أتلوا ما حرم ربكم عليكم إلى نهاية لأن هذا صراط مستقيم. Ibn Mas'ud was reported to say, whoever wants to look about to the very will of Prophet Muhammad upon which he died and his seal is upon this statement, let him read those ayahs that you have mentioned. The statement from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud concerning the will, it does not mean a physical will that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has left, because we know that the Prophet did not leave any will before he died, except he was telling to the people, As-salatu as-salah wa ma malakat aymanukum. Hold on to the tree and take care of what your right hand possesses. But here al-wasiyah, it means the covenant, something which is very important. And verily, those three ayat are very important because they are establishing the path on which we have to affiliate ourselves with and we have to be upon. Next, it was reported the hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal. It says, كنت رديف النبي على حمار فقال لي يا معاذ أتدري ما حق الله على العباد وما حق العباد على الله؟ قلت الله ورسوله أعلم. قال حق الله على العباد أن يعبدوه ولا يشركوا به شيئا، وحق العباد على الله أن لا يعذب من لا يشرك به شيئا. قلت يا رسول الله ألا أفلا أبشر الناس؟ قال لا تبشرهم فيتكلوا. فنطق بها معاذ تأثيما أخرجاه الصحيح. This is the last hadith that the author brought in this chapter, where it says Mu'adh ibn Jabal was riding a donkey next to Prophet Muhammad. Then Prophet Muhammad said, O Mu'adh, do you know what is the right of Allah over his slave? And what is the right of the slave over Allah? He said, Allah and the Messenger know best. He said to the Prophet, The right of Allah over his slave is to worship him without any association. That is Allah's right over us. For us to worship Allah without submitting any type of association, major, minor, or hidden. Therefore, since this is the right of Allah, Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَنْ يُشْرَكَ بِهِ. Allah does not forgive association, because that association is a transgression against the right of Allah over us. But a person has to repent from the association. And then the continuation of the hadith says, and the right of Allah and the right of the slave over Allah, that Allah does not punish the one who does not associate anything with Allah. That right which to us over Allah was mandated by Allah Himself. We did not mandate any right over Allah Azza wa Jalla, because He is the supreme authority. Allah mandated and declared that whoever does not associate with Allah anything, this person will not want to be punished. Upon hearing that Mu'adh ibn Jabal said, O Prophet of Allah, will I tell the people? Will I tell them this bad, good news to the people? Prophet Muhammad said, do not do that, so they do not fall into dependence upon this statement. Because then a person hearing this statement might think going to paradise is easy. Going to paradise does not require, except for a person to stay away from association. And since a lot of people might not know the degrees of association and the style of association, they will think association is limited to worshiping a partner with Allah. Whereas association comes in other than this form. As the Prophet ﷺ said, أَخْوَفُ مَا أَخَافُ عَلَى أُمَّةِ الشِّرْكِ الْأَصْغَرِ قَالُ لَمَا هُوَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ قَالَ الْغِيَاءِ. The Prophet said, the thing that I fear for my nation the most is the small, the minor shirk. They said, what is that? He said, showing off. Because showing off is part of shirk. A person is making the people the object of his worship. He is trying to get the recommendation and the pleasure of the people, not the recommendation and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, the Prophet said, do not tell the people, so they will not fall into assumptions which are not correct. Then Mu'adh ibn Jabal, before he died, he reported this hadith for the purpose of reporting everything from this religion. And that gives us a very important point, that whatever was said by the Prophet to be part of this religion has been reported and transmitted from the companions to the second generation, and the second generation to the one after them, and so on and so forth. This religion is protected by the protection of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. This hadith was brought by the author to show us that tawheed is very important. This is the tawheed which is the right of Allah over us. Therefore, for us to give Allah His right in totality, for us to give Allah His right without any problem, without any mistakes and faults, without any scratches, we have to know how to establish tawheed to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Then the entirety of this book is going to deal with issues teaching us how we establish tawheed to Allah Azza wa Jal in totality. Having said that, we move into the issue that the author brought in the end of this book. The first issue, Al-Hikmah min khalq al-jinn wal-ins, the wisdom behind creating jinn and ins, and that is to worship. أن العبادة هي التوحيد لأن الخصومة فيه. Worship is tawheed, as in this issue, there has always been dispute between the Prophet and the polytheists. Tawheed refers to worshipping Allah alone. Tawheed does not refer to acknowledging the existence of Allah or to acknowledge that Allah is the creator. Because many people, the majority of the people, acknowledge that Allah exists and He is the creator. Yet after that they do not take the extra step to worship Allah alone. The third issue, that the one who does not worship Allah alone, he is not establishing Tawheed. The fourth issue, the wisdom behind sending the messenger. And the wisdom behind sending the messenger is to call to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fifth issue is أَنَّ الرِّسَالَ عَمَّتْ كُلَّ أُمَّةٍ, that the messenger, the message reaches every community, every nation. And that is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا. We have sent in every nation, in every community, a messenger. But that messenger does not have to reach every person in person. A person might hear the message and not see the messenger. The sixth issue, that the religion of the Prophet is one. All of them called to worship Allah Azza wa Jalla. The seventh issue, which is the major issue, is that the major issue is that the worship of Allah cannot be performed until Tawhid is denounced and rejected. In this meaning is the name of Allah. Whoever disbelieves in the Tawhid and believes in Allah, then he has grasped the most trustworthy handhold. فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى. And that is, a person cannot become a believer unless he affirms that Allah is the only deity worthy of worship and negates any other deity from being worthy of worship. Everything that is worshipped with the permission of the worship is called طَاغُوت. And the eighth issue, that أَتَنَّ الطَّاغُوتَ عَانَ فِي كُلْ مَا عُبِدَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. الطَّاغُوت is general to everything that is worshipped other than Allah, but with one condition, that he is accepting this worship. Therefore, we do not call عيد a طاغوت, even though the people worship him, because he does not allow that. He is not happy, nor he calls the people to do that. But the طاغوت calls the people to worship him, or to obey him at the expense of obeying Allah. The ninth issue, عظم شأن ثلاث آيات المحكمات من سورة الأنعام. The importance of those three آيات in سورة الأنعام from verse 151 to 153. Also the tenth issue, the importance of the آيات in سورة الإسراء. And in the 18th issue, they are started with verses number 22 to verses number 39. We ask the students to go and read all of those, and we start with, do not, ولا تجعل مع الله إلها آخر. It starts with, ولا تجعل مع الله إلها آخر فتقعد مذموما مخذولا. And then it says, and this is what he brought in the book, وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه. Then Ayah Surah Al-Nisa, التي تسمى Ayah الصفوف العشرة, is also the Ayah of Surah Al-Nisa where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. As well, we must note the admonition of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which he made before his death. So things recognize Allah's right upon us, and that is to worship Him. معرفة حق الله عليه. 14, معرفة حق العباد على الله إذا أدوا حقه. To recognize the rights of the slaves of Allah if they fulfill his rights. Number 15, أن هذه المسألة لا يعرفها أكثر الصحابة. This issue was not known to the most of the companions of Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Reason being that Mu'adh said that right before he died. Number 16, جواز إتمام العلم والمسألة. Permissibility to have some knowledge for the common good. Sometimes you do not have revealed knowledge and people have no ability to understand it. Therefore, it was reported by Ali Abi Talib. He said, حَدِّثُ النَّاسَ بِمَا يَعْلَمُونَ يُرِيدُونَ أَن يُكَذَّبَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. Talk to the people about issues that they can understand. Otherwise, they will attribute falsehood to Allah and to His Messenger. Number 17, استحباب إشارة المؤمن بما يسره. It is desirable to pass the pleasing news to other Muslims. Fear, number 18, fears are dependent upon the extensiveness of Allah's mercy. We have talked about this. Number 19, to say, I don't know, to say, Allah and His Messenger know if you don't know. Number 20, it's correct to impart knowledge selectively to someone and not to others. Number 21, the humility of the Prophet on riding on a donkey with his companion behind him. Number 22, it is legitimate to have a second rider behind him because both of them were riding on the donkey. The virtue of Mu'adh ibn Jabal, because the Prophet selected Mu'adh ibn Jabal to tell him the issue. عظم شأن هذه المسألة, the great importance of this issue, meaning the issue of Tawheed.